This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dog Report with some SEC thrown to the mix, brought to you by our buddies at Brightbox. We talked to Coach Dooley about the South Carolina game. If there was one a nit to pick, Carl, it might have been over the middle and not missing John Atkins. Now, obviously, we talked a lot about that last week leading up, that you don't have that kind of space-grabbing nose tackle that they've used in years past. But aside from maybe a few runs and a few throws over the middle, I think certainly Kirby and the guys will be able to work on that. If that's the only thing really you could pick apart from the from the win up there in South Carolina.
Listen, I feel really good about everything that I saw. Kicking game, Rodrigo Blankenship looks good. Everything seems to be clicking. And I don't mean clicking to the point where you're playing at a national championship level, but you're clicking week three level. You know what I mean? I mean, you're at a point right now where you feel really good about the things that you're seeing, and especially on the defensive side. Guys, that game started with a pick six,
right?
So you got all this momentum about the defense and what's going to happen, and boom, you start the game off that way. I just think that things are really hard to nitpick with Georgia right now, Mike. That may change after next week with Mizzou, as you were talking about, but not right now.
I'm not sure if can Missouri. I'll have to look, and we'll talk more about it next week, what their offensive line is like and how they get after it in the interior. Can they exploit that against Georgia? That's the only area, and I know that Seth Emerson was talking about it with some of the Georgia fans in Dog Nation, or I should say now on the Athletic, and Chip Towers was talking about it on Dog Nation. But, as we said, hard to find much fault when you go up there and deliver that kind of a whooping to an SEC opponent. And that, again, the test was, how are the young defenders on that defense going to step up? And they did.
By the way, if you're just joining us, Georgia's game, if you've not heard, moved up as far as the time is concerned. It is now a noon kickoff. It was scheduled to start at 7:15 on Saturday. A lot of this is Florence influence, all right? Or influence, should I say. Games affected by Florence, guys. West Virginia, North Carolina State canceled. UCF, North Carolina canceled. East Carolina, Virginia Tech, canceled. Marcia, South Carolina, canceled. All of these games, if you had plans or you had family or whatever's going on, it's just kind of making you aware. Obviously, people are trying to get out of those areas. But, you know, Ohio, Virginia moved from Charlottesville to Nashville. The Georgia Southern Clemson game, Mike, moved from 3:30 on Saturday to noon.
Right, and they're going to play that, as we said. You know, Georgia Tech's up at Pittsburgh, and Clemson always likes to try to have a team like a Georgia Southern, like Georgia will often play them a week before they get Georgia Tech. So Clemson at home in Death Valley, getting that one out of the way. Getting to upstate is going to take a minute. It seems like the storm's just going to sit there for a while and churn, and unfortunately going to create a lot of flooding in the Lowcountry.
That's not going to be good. Boston College, Wake Forest moved from 7:30 to 5:30. So a lot of time changes going on with Florence, but certainly college football, some of it being moved, some of it just time as far as being moved with the kickoff. Hey, as we talk about other things going on the sidelines with the Dogs, are you concerned as we shift gears to Georgia Tech, as you were just mentioning, with the Kevontae Benson injury?
Yeah, I mean, our next guy up, but I mean, he's a 1,000-yard rusher and is certainly really good at what he does, and you're coming off a really embarrassing loss to USF. And I don't know what Pitt is going to be. I mean, Pitt just got, they hung for a minute, and then the special teams in Penn State just unloaded on him. But, I mean, you would say going into the season, we thought this was a winnable game for Georgia Tech. But I think that, you know, the pivot to the 3-4 with Nate Woody may be a little bit more of a work in progress.
Well, Benson out for the season, going to have a knee procedure. This is something that he had in high school and was able to overcome, and I think he'll be back. And it's just unfortunate it happens in the first game, but you're right. You just don't, you know, pluck 1,000-yard rushers off the tree and go, all right, this is the next guy up, and he'll be as good.
Nature of that offense, I mean, you know, Paul is going to pluck next guy, and next guy will be pretty good. That's the beauty of it. I mean, I'm not saying you don't want to have, like, 1,000-yard rushers, but you don't necessarily have to have the five-star athlete to make it work to your advantage if you execute it, and the other team doesn't. You know, in the case of USF, I mean, they had some blown assignments, and they could not stay disciplined at the time. Georgia builds the lead up, but they can't hold on to it. We heard that story before.
Benson, by the way, last year, against Pitt, 205 yards, two touchdowns, and the Jackets win 35-17. So, you know, this is, again, going into this week, we'll see how they adjust and what happens. But I'll be honest, not worried about the offense. They did their job, Mike. The defense has got to get stops. And if they don't, they're going to find themselves in another shootout potentially with Pittsburgh this weekend.
By the way, see the new helmets for Tech?
The Georgia Tech helmet?
Yeah. They got the white lid. You see that? I saw the article that Ken Segura had. It's kind of like a gold stripe. It's got the blue and gold stripe coming down. It's kind of like a pointy stripe. Craig, I'm surprised you haven't hit the Georgia Tech sounder yet.
You like it? You like the look?
Yeah. I like it better than the honeycomb thing they had going. Yeah. You like that, Squid?
No, I like the honeycomb better. Yeah. I thought the honeycomb was pretty cool. It was different. You don't see many of those. You see stripes all over helmets. Mm-hmm.
It's a white helmet, but it's got a big, thick stripe. And it gets pointy in the front, Carl. There's a breakdown of Georgia Tech's haberdashery from Adidas.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. You got me looking at it. Yeah, I like the honeycomb, too. I do.
Yeah. It's white. A stinger. He's coming at you.
That's what it is?
I don't know.
How's it stinging?
Yeah. I think it was a yellow jacket that got me the other day walking to work after all the ways we disparaged Georgia Tech. It's healing up.
It is. Your eyes still swollen.
I'm not going to turn into Jeff Goldblum and the freaking fly over here.
Your eyes are still swollen.
I'm fine.
Should have peed on it. Told you.
Again, that's a jellyfish, you idiot. It's the Dog Report with some jackets in the middle, in the mix. Georgia State, by the way.
Armadillas, too, by the way.
Will you stop it? Georgia Tech.
No, you do. You're supposed to pee on it.
An armadillo? They bite you?
No, when they, like, burrow in and, like, you know,
what is spot. I've never had to deal with an armadillo.
No, I'm being serious. I'm telling you.
I saw one once in Tallahassee, but that's it. I've never seen one.
Oh, you're looking at me like you didn't raise these animals on your farm. What are you talking about?
Yeah, yes. We didn't go around peeing on them, Carl.
Why are you making that motion with your hands? Is this what you guys do in Texas for kicks? You go and have relations with armadillos?
I'm just trying to share some information with you. That's how you get them to get out of there.
You made this very strange physical motion with your hand.
I had to pick it up.
I know this is a new fetish thing I need to get into. Armadillo sex tonight on Fox.
So, no, you don't pee on the bee sting, though. No, but I'm just saying, armadillos
on jellyfish. The point I was getting to, Georgia State fans, have some fun in Beale Street. It's kind of overrated, but enjoy Memphis for the Panthers fans that are going up there, too. Check out that game.
We'd love to hear from you guys, 404-741-0929. Hey, listen. We're trying not to, at least I am, I'm trying my best not to disrespect the opponent this week in Middle Tennessee, but this is just one of those games, Mike, sort of like how the Dogs started the season with Austin Peay. You're better, and we just got to go win and play the game out, and you know, but that doesn't mean that Middle Tennessee is not going to come out and play their hearts out, but you're just better. So,
right.
You know, there's really nothing, I'm not going to try to build this up, and Mike and I always make fun, you know, oh! This week in the SEC.
I mean, like they're out of conference as a dog this year. We knew that. But, I mean, it does give you the opportunity for the young defenders we talked about earlier. And, obviously, if we get Fields some work and get him some reps.
It's going to be a dog fight, Mike.
Yeah, but this is a team that did go to Bobby Dodd a couple years back and beat Georgia Tech, Middle Tennessee State. What was it, like 4 or 5 years back? Okay, Middle Tennessee State, the Blue Raiders from Murfreesboro, you betcha. Tomorrow, guys, we're going to be hitting the road. Join us for shenanigans.
Hey,
man, we're going to be at Twin Peaks and Bucket, and we're going to have our Hey Man Ale from Oconee Brewing on tap.
Can't wait.
Ice cold. And we'll also have our six-packs on display.
Can't wait. And we look forward to seeing you guys out there as well. Craig, you're off tomorrow? You're not working aboard?
No, I'll be out there with you guys.
Okay, nice. You come out there?
Come on down.
Yeah, man, we'd love to see you guys out there.
Park in the parking lot this time, though.
Well, where you're supposed to park.
Yes.
Instead of trying to be cheap.
True.
Okay.
I mean, again, just they validate the parking. You park right behind a joint. It's easy. It's simple.
I'd never been out with you guys, so I didn't know where to park. So I saw free parking and went that way.
If you park in the Disco Kroger, bad things will happen. So just you park behind this validated parking. It's simple. It's easy.
Why did you just say with them? You still park wherever. You don't go out by yourself. You just sit in your apartment. You park in parking spots designated for the areas that you're in.
My car didn't get booted the night. It was the girl who came. So at the end of the day, I still didn't pay. So it's good.
Yeah. If you guys are just tuning in, this is last year. So Craig invites a girl to come meet him there and says, "Oh yeah, you park there. It's fine." And kind of ruined the moment as they walk back to her car and she sees a giant boot clamped on the wheel. And, of course, Craig's like, I ain't paying for it.
Yeah, which was cold-blooded, especially after all she did for you, Craig.
You really are a cholo. Anyway, it is Dustin Bell. Thanks for hanging out with us. A little peek behind the curtain. So you'll have a chance to meet with Craig, bond, and perhaps you can give him some advice for these kind of encounters, which he seems to always fall into, at Twin Peaks tomorrow from 2 to 6:30.
All right, man. Again, follow us across all
social media. In Bucket.
Yeah, in Bucket. Follow us across all social media platforms, 929 The Game, and follow us on Twitter. He is Mike Bell, ATL. I'm going to put him up. See Dukes, the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929.
And we're going to talk more about the Falcons guys. Also, Braves fans, Dale Murphy is going to join us in about an hour and 10 minutes or so. We're going to talk to the guy that should be in the Hall of Fame about the Red Hot Braves. Let me ask you this, though. Have you ever betted against your own team?
Yes.
Placed a bet against your own
yes.
team?
Yes.
You've done that?
Yes.
I feel bad, but I was talking about this with a guy who works in the law office right over here on the ninth floor, and he was saying, what do you think about the Noles this week? I'm a big Florida State fan. You guys know that. They're going to Syracuse, and they're a three-point favorite, and they've looked horrible so far. Nothing has seemed to work. The coaching staff, everybody seems like they're really having a hard time getting their game plan into these guys' heads. These are the same. Some of these players are the same guys who lost to Boston College badly last year on the road. I hate to say it, and I'm not the only FSU fan who feels this way. I got a bad feeling that they're going to lose to Syracuse in the Carrier Dome.
Well, listen, if they do, you know, all this conversation we're having about Willie Taggart. Do something. You do something.
Let's hope they leave the knapsack up there in the sideline and see. And Syracuse. That's you know how humiliating it is when your team.
No, it's a fresh idea, Mike.
No, no, you stop. You know what? You know what? What do they got in Texas? A turnover armadillo?
the knapsack is such a bite. It is such a take from the turnover chain. Now everybody's doing it. But a knapsack?
It's the lamest idea. And for those who are not familiar, Florida State has like this red leather knapsack or whatever it's called, the turnover bag. It just looks ridiculous. And you're right. And here's the thing. Now you're stuck with it. You're the laughingstock of college football. And if you're the coach, does it look worse if you say, oh, we're going to scrap that?
No, sometimes you just need to scrap it. But here's the deal with Taggart. If they do not show up this weekend, all that conversation about these first couple of weeks will only intensify. It just will. And Mike, there's a transition always when you change coaches. But there shouldn't be this kind of fall off. Furman?
Right.
There shouldn't be this kind of fall off.
Hey, by the way, Miami Hurricanes going to Toledo. And again, they always do kind of these funky little wrinkles. We were talking about this earlier with Mike Conte off the air. But remember, they played at App State. They went up to Boone last year. So Miami going to Toledo, they are a 10.5-point favorite. We'll give you all our picks tomorrow, our pick segment. But there are some interesting matchups. The marquee game, obviously, is that LSU taking on Auburn in Auburn at Jordan-Hare, 3:30 on CBS. And then we talked about Ole Miss at Alabama.
All right, real quick, I just got a tweet from Bert. And this is the kind of stuff we've been getting consistently. And I appreciate you guys keeping us up to date on what our situation is with the Hey Man L. But Bert's like, take Jack's Incoming off of your list. They are sold out.
Wow.
They just got their shipment yesterday.
Man.
Didn't they?
Man, people are hoarding our beer. Don't be putting our beer on eBay.
So
I don't think you can do that. Well, maybe you can. Who knows?
I don't know. But, Bert, thanks for the update. But a lot of folks yesterday, we were up at Flowery Branch, and a guy was like, yeah, take that off your list.
Well, here's the thing.
Be more distributed,
but for
guys.
A lot of guys, it's the first time to try our beer. I was asking Carl, hopefully they're going to like our beer and then buy it again.
Yeah.
So this is your first opportunity. A lot of guys have had it when we're at places like Twin Peaks. Kennesaw, as I said, we'll be at Buckhead tomorrow. But come on out and join us and sample our brew. But, yeah, guys, there's a full list up at 92.9 The Game, at Dukes and Bell. At put them up, C. Dukes, and I'm Mike Bell, ATL. Or just go check out Oconee Brewing Company. They got a list of where you can find our beer in six-packs.
Yeah,
and cases.
And there's new places to get it as of today. And there'll be some new places tomorrow. So I continue to put those places out there. But, yes, it's changing every day. So everybody that's, you know, been hitting us up going, hey, it's not here, or I live in this part of the town, or whatever. We're trying to get it as close as we possibly can to everybody so you can go check it out.
Hey, man, Steve Sarkisian talking to the media today. We're going to see what he has to say about the red zone woes. Also, some comments about, obviously, the game against the Eagles and what didn't work. Matt Ryan yesterday was asked by D-Led. Remember, we had D-Led in studio, in our makeshift studio up in Flowery Branch. He was asking about Kurt Warner's comments about what was not happening in that that red zone sequence at the end of the game. And Matt said doesn't pay attention to that sort of thing. But, I mean, there were some valid points brought up by a guy that's played in some pretty big games.
Yeah, I don't know if you can hear all the chatter. I don't. But I do know you hear some of it. And I think Matt Ryan does hear some of it. Hey, coming up, Braves, 7.5 games in front, guys. This division is theirs for the taking. We'll talk about it next on Dukes and Bell.
I love it when we get 5 takeaways. And hopefully everybody else start loving it too, because we're getting a lot of takeaways and you see it a lot. And it's kind of like anything else. Once you see it so much, you start to get used to it. And
it is Dukes and Bell. It's interesting. Apparently we got John in Sandy Springs who wants to talk to us about the peeing on a jellyfish sting, which Mike and I got to this whole conversation because he got stung earlier in the week by some kind of bee. And then you went off on insects, which is...
Well, I'm not a fan of insects. They're horrible things. Why they're here.
So we're going to talk to John. And then apparently, Mike, one of our listeners who tweeted at us was like, yeah, man, y'all are showing your age. FSU is securing the bag.
Yes, I know. Bo's like, it's a hip-hop term. Thank you, Bo. Yeah, and I hit back the it's one of our loyal listeners, by the way. He's a good dude.
He is.
He's a coach. He coaches youth sports, but he's saying, hey, man, this is from Swats Me, Kill Him, says the FSU securing the bag, the youth lingo. And I hit him back. I said, you know what? Maybe Cardi B should be calling the plays for Florida State the way Taggart and company look right now.
Yeah, listen, Playboy, I've heard the song. That doesn't mean that this is a fresh and innovative idea, okay? This is lame. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it just, one of my first reaction was like, what the is that? And then the rest of the country goes, this looks ridiculous. Because look, Miami, give credit where credit's due. That's got a, it's got a swag to it.
It's fresh.
People dig it. It's often emulated and everyone's got their own thing. I mean, I don't know what you come up with, but it ain't that. You know, I know you want to create something new. And if that is what the, if that's what the kids are saying these days, Carl.
Yeah, secure the back. Secure this, will you? Okay? How about that?
Yeah.
Give me a break.
Yeah. So if you're just tuning in, we were talking about the Florida State turnover object.
All right, let's talk to John real quick. John, is this a myth about jellyfish and what you need to do for the stings?
Yeah, I'm just trying to look out for y'all so you're not peeing on each other on the beach.
No, it doesn't happen. Doesn't happen.
It was made up by surfers so they could laugh at people.
What do you do? What are you supposed to do?
You're supposed to just go be a man about it. Hey, man.
Yeah, apparently it says there's no, I'm reading the article here from
that was informative.
Modern Science. This is BuzzFeed. It's a blog about medicine. Be a man. Says there are nothing other than personal anecdotes that says urine can heal a jellyfish sting or other than provide temporary relief, which fresh water would if you were in salt water.
Well, yes, that's why you're doing it, for temporary relief. I know my grandmama told me.
Actually, it says vinegar. This article says vinegar for jellyfish.
Red dirt will fix anything.
There you go. Now, again, if you're humping an armadillo, what is your procedure there?
No, armadillos, if they you know, will burrow and make their spot near your home.
Right. You pee in the hole?
Yes.
Okay.
And they will leave.
There's a kid in his car right now going, he said pee. Yeah. Sorry about that, kids. We just want to clear that up. We were talking about it in the Georgia Report, and we got off on this tangent about animals and critters and how you mitigate those stings.
All right. With that said, and listen, some of this stuff is mythical, and some of it's true. Who knows?
Wives tales, etc.
Yeah.
Right.
Braves beat the Giants, Mike. They're now 7.5 games up in this division, which is astounding to me. I did not think at this point we'd be this far ahead. I thought maybe at the end of the season we might win the division by 4 or 5 games, and maybe that, it still plays out that way. But right now, this thing is looking like they're going to run away with it.
Well, again, Nostradamus, easy. But the Phillies certainly do seem like they're trending the other way. And now we're going to see the Nationals here for a couple of games. But the performance from the bullpen, another great effort. Last night, you know, we yesterday afternoon, I should say, on getaway day, bullpen again stepped up, did a nice job. I think you you look at the rotation, and if you can continue now to put more distance between you and the Phillies, then you can start resting guys. Then you can let you know all your call-ups from Gwinnett do their thing, and then you're really in a good spot. And Carl and I talked about it earlier. The good news is, you know, the Cubbies and the Brewers are kind of in a death battle right now. They were going at it last night. Milwaukee took down Chicago 5-1 at Wrigley. And the Dodgers and the Rockies, they got to go down to the wire. So the Braves are in a good position if they can keep on rolling.
If you missed this yesterday, the Braves basically got 6 strong innings from Anibal Sanchez, but Tyler Flowers drove in the go-ahead run in the 9th. Guys, this gets back to that timely hitting clutch thing that we've been talking about with this team, and it's not just one guy. The other day it was Charlie Culberson. One night it's Acuna. The next night it's Albies. Then it's Freddie. Then it's Camargo. This is what we've been saying during this stretch of games where you go, wow, there's a different guy coming through in a timely fashion every night. And it seemed to be, you know, that thing that you find with teams that get in the playoffs and you go, man, they shouldn't have won, but they do. That is kind of what this team has done consistently. So, you know, it comes down to the 9th inning. We're not out of it. I'm not stressing because I've seen this team all season long do what they did yesterday.
And, you know, we said and we talked a lot about that Boston game. Because Thursday you just said, wow, last week, holy cow, how do you bounce back from that? Is this going to be one of those crucial moments where the thing just completely unravels? No. They win 6 out of 7 on the West Coast swing. That's money. All right, that's clutch. And that's also, you know, finding your Quijones. I mean, these guys stepped up big time. And now look at Philly. They're melting away. And you've got clutch. You can't quantify that. I don't know what the nerd stat is, whether you know your whip, your wins above replacement. All I know is whatever clutch is, the Braves got it right now. And even when a guy like Culberson gets plugged in, he delivers.
Yeah. The magic number, by the way, now is 10. And it was 11 when they won yesterday, but then they went to the night games. Remember, they were on the West Coast. They played early. And then you go into the night games, and the Phillies got more help. So the magic number is now 10. That's a combined wins or losses, guys. Braves wins or Phillies losses, that will help us clinch the division.
And the game for Friday, guys, it still remains scheduled for 7:35. Again, we're waiting to see what happens with Florence and if the rain just comes up early. Right now, it looks okay. And then Dave O'Brien from The Athletic reminding us Saturday's game moved up to 105 for Fox, by the way.
All right. Feel really good about this club, man. Now, I don't know how far they're going to go. It's still going to ultimately come down to starting pitching. We've seen this team against the Cubs. We didn't fare well. We've seen them against Milwaukee.
Well, you know, Yelich, by the way, speaking of MVP.
I know.
Man, has he been raking.
No. And, Mike, right now is when you put your stamp on it, right? You're in the hunt. All these meaningful games, and all of a sudden now you just start playing out of your mind, and everybody goes, that guy's the MVP. He could easily win it. And then Colorado. I'm just throwing, you know, clubs out there. But here's the point I'm getting to. There's no one that I'm fearful of. Like, if we play them, that is a sweep. We won't win a game. There's not a club out there like that. You know, and the one concern is still the concern as we head down the stretch, and that is the bullpen. We've been in games with all of those clubs that I just mentioned, but then when it comes down to the bullpen coming in to retain the lead, that's when you get a little nervous.
Well, I know that Vizcaino eventually at some point will be back, but again, yesterday, if you didn't see, we were on during the afternoon when it was on, but Anibal Sanchez does get the decision, but a solid six innings, and then Biddle, Winkler got the win, then Ventures came in. You know, Ventures is still an amazing story in and of itself. The guy can just throw a baseball, but I mean, do you trust Minter? Yeah, you kind of, you know, there's a lump in your throat because no lead is safe with Minter, you could argue. But the guy still does have, you know, a bunch of saves to give him some confidence. But Vizcaino, Minter is a setup guy I certainly feel better about. And that would also bodes well if Vizcaino comes back and is in midseason form.
It does. I asked this question today. I'll ask you again. And you can text us at 404-741-0929. Are you paying attention to this? I'm talking about the Braves. Or are you just kind of, because this is pretty cool what's going on right now. And they are, in essence, basically a year ahead of schedule. If this happened next year, we didn't get in the playoffs this year, and we were kind of flopping around right now at the end of the season, you'd be like, well, you know, this wasn't supposed to happen to next year. But they're not. They're doing something pretty cool. And so, you know, I said, if you've been in the city a long time, you might still be spoiled by all those division titles that they won and ultimately they only won World Series. But if you're new to the city in the last 10 years or so, it's been 5 years since this team's been in the playoffs.
Right.
So, you know, I'm not taking this for granted. I think, Mike, speaking of windows, this could open up a window. Baseball's so long, the season's so long, and it's right. Hard. 162. But this could open up the window for us to be really good for the next, you know, 3 to 5 years.
Exactly. Hopefully longer than that. But that's the thing, man. Coppolella did a nice job. I know he's kind of forgotten about this. He's persona non grata. I tweeted about it earlier. Hats off to Coppy, man. Pick the right guys. All right, he might have been doing some funny business. Somebody was rolling around Dominican with bags of cash, but guess what? They went and got the right dudes. These guys are clutch, and Albie's now starting to get a little bit better, by the way, batting from the right side. We were talking earlier against lefties. He's batting .242 as a right-handed batter, .343. So starting to pick up after a little bit of a dip in the middle of the summer. Albie's now coming back, and Snitker's got the confidence to have him at the top of the lineup.
Guys, more about the Braves coming up with our man, Dale Murphy, at 5:20 as part of our big story. You'll get a chance to hear from one of the all-time great Braves. And Mike said, a guy who I think should ultimately be in the Hall of Fame. But he's one of my all-time favorites. Was a big fan of Dale Murphy when he played and has been a big fan of him even after his playing career. He's got a lot going on, man. Got a restaurant. He's doing some writing stuff. So we'll get into all of that with Dale and ask him about this club. Hey, coming up, though, you're going to hear from our quarterback, Matt Ryan, as Dave Archer had a chance to visit with him. So it is 1st and 10 with Matt Ryan on the way. Mike, here's some more good news about Hey Man L. It was at J&J Liquor Store in Stockbridge. They sold out one day.
Wow.
Gone.
Southside.
Southside?
We're coming to Southside, brother. I'm telling you. We know a lot of guys will hit us up on the text and say, when are you guys coming down here? We know we you can keep buying the beer, we'll be down there pronto, man.
So I'm not making this up. Oconee just hit me up, and they said J&J Liquor Store in Stockbridge sold out one day. So
now, again, now they're going to take it home and drink it, and they got to like it, and they come back and buy more.
All right.
That's we like it. We think you'll dig it, too. Craig drinks a lot of it. He was pouring it in a baby's bottle last night.
Yeah.
Probably get defects involved.
Probably.
Hey. But anyway, we go online. We got a whole list of the newer locations and places all over town, guys, as this thing is really taking off. And by the way, I think it bears repeating, Carl. We say it all the time. If we didn't have you guys listen to the show, making us the number one sports talk show in town, we wouldn't have our own beer. Can't do it without you, man. And thanks to the guys at Oconee, because this thing has become a phenomenon. And we love you guys for buying our brew.
You know, this show is a movement.
All right, Mike, before we let you hear from our quarterback, is this secure the bag, by the way? Secure the bag? Secure the bag. It is Dukes and Bell. Craig behind the glass, our engineer, Bo Morgan, producing the show. Before we let you hear our quarterback in first and 10 with Matt Ryan, and Dave Archer has a chance to sit down with him each and every week and pick his brain a little bit as we get ready for Carolina. D-Led just apparently heard from Steve Sarkisian, our offensive coordinator. He spoke after practice. Remember, you brought this up. He talked about it on our show yesterday about what Kurt Warner had to say about what he thought the Falcons were not doing. Bo just tweeted it at me. I'll retweet it so you guys can check it out. But in responding to Kurt Warner, Steve Sarkisian says it was bracket coverage. They were doubling number three on the right-hand side and number two on the left-hand side. It wasn't his own defense. I'm sorry, Kurt Warner. Coach Sark snapping back at him, man. Basically saying, listen, I know what I'm doing. I know what I see. We're doing what we need to be doing. We just didn't finish some of these plays.
You know, we talked about it yesterday. I mean, if you've got man-to-man coverage, then you can do some of the things like you want to see us do, which we've tried in the past, like rub routes where you see, you know, you can't pick, you get penalized, but there's ways where you can get guys and get some movement and get a guy going one way and you go the other. But I just, to me, it just looked like we were, and I think Kurt Warner's point was you weren't creating matchup issues.
Right.
You were letting, you know, Philly dictate it, but Sark sees it differently.
All right, you can go check that out. And more from Sark coming up as he spoke to the media today after practice.
He wanted the Falcons, for those who don't remember, to flood the zone, to have two or three receivers on one side.
Well, I don't think, Mike, we do a lot of this, and that's bunch sets, right? Where you have Sanu, Julio, let's say, in the middle.
We've done it. We need to do more of it.
And yeah. Maybe, you know, Calvin Ridley all bunched in a bunch, and then you're running routes off of that stuff and rubbing guys and trying to create space for your playmakers. That's the kind of stuff that he's talking about. Either way, Sark responds. Sark responds!
Sark attack.
Hey, man, let's hear from Matt Ryan. He sits down with Dave Archer each and every week. It's first and 10.
About our brotherhood, man, how tight we can get.
This is the first and 10 with Dave Archer and Matt Ryan on the home for our Atlanta Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Matt, as we get ready for game two, I want to reflect back on game one. It's been a long time, it seems like, when you play on a Thursday and you got to wait till the following Sunday. I know you're kind of chomping the bit to get out on the field.
Yeah, no doubt. When you have that early Thursday game, which we've had at different times throughout the year, this being the first one to open a season, you do get a little extra time off, which is nice for your body to recover. But after a loss like we had the other night, usually you just want to get back onto the practice field and start preparing for another opponent. But what I've learned throughout my career is that anytime you get that extended rest, you got to take advantage of it and get your body right, because this season is a marathon. It's a long haul for us, and those extra days of rest that you get are going to benefit you as you move forward.
I know how hard a self-evaluator as you are, and I'm sure you combed over what happened and then got ready for Carolina. As you reflected back and looked back, what are some of the things you feel like you guys can need to or can improve on as you move into this one?
Well, you know, I think it's a few things. I think from a player's standpoint, we have to go execute better than we did in the first game across the board. You know, the details of how we do things, whether it's route running, whether it's throwing, whether it's putting the ball in certain places for our guys to make plays, just the details of how we do things has to be better. And I think if we, you know, clean up those details, that'll lead to more consistency, and we'll continue to make plays. We made some good plays throughout that game, too. We just weren't making enough plays enough of the time. And if we can do that moving forward, we're going to be tough to deal with.
I know how much you like to distribute the ball across the landscape of the players you've got. Obviously, Julio was targeted 19 times, and sometimes the game takes you to a certain guy, and it certainly did on Thursday night. I know you like to involve a lot of players. How do you do that moving into this one?
Well, you know, it's a catch-22, because if they're not going to take him away, if they're going to give him singled up coverages, we still go to our best matchup, and we're not going to shy away from that. If it's 20 targets and we get 20 legitimate looks to take it to him, we're going to do that every game. I mean, that's just how special a player he is. What I tell the other guys is that you know, the ball's going to find you throughout the course of the year. Different teams are going to play us differently, and you have to be prepared to make a play at any time when it's your turn to do it. But as far as targeting, you know, the big guy, I mean, we're going to continue to target him when he gets his chances.
And why wouldn't you? I mean, his production was phenomenal on Thursday night. Matt Ryan here on Countdown to Kickoff. Okay, Carolina, a team you're very familiar with, style they play with is not going to be foreign to you. When you look at them on tape, how do they look this season?
They look very similar. I mean, it's a defense that has a lot of continuity in the front seven, and they've had that for a number of years. They're a little bit different on the back end in the secondary than they've been the past couple of years. But the scheme is the same. I mean, and you know, it makes sense. Why would you change? They've been a very good defense for a long time. Going against these guys, it's all about handling them up front, you know, and they've got a really good front four. They've got some linebackers who are extremely talented. You know, but we got to put them in some tough spots. We got to make them defend the entire field and stretch them out, and then use our run game to create some separation in the pass game. So we have a good plan for these guys. We know how to attack them. Now it comes down to making our plays when we get our chances.
Well, you mentioned the run game. How much will the run game and the screen game help you when you get down close in the red zone?
Well, it's huge. I mean, you know, the closer you get sometimes, the more difficult it gets to score because the spacing in the passing game becomes so tight. And when we are able to run the football effectively, you know, down there in the low red, we're at our best because it creates opportunities to get some suck from the backers with play action passing and to create some separation for our guys. That part of it will be important. And the screen game is always important too. You know, trying to get our guys in space and making defenses tackle us is critical.
You lost two of your really good players defensively. Keanu Neal, Deion Jones go down with injuries. Hopefully Deion will get back at some point during this year. Not that it emphasizes what you guys do on the offensive side of the ball, but I'm sure there's a sense of urgency regardless of what the situation is defensively.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you never want to see guys go down, and those are two special players for us, and it's hard to replace them, you know, but you know, Dan and his staff do as good a job as anybody in this league of preparing young guys to play and to impact our team. And at certain times throughout the year, this is what happens. Your number gets called and you've got the opportunity to go play. So I expect our guys to come in and play well in replacing those guys. And then on the offensive side of the ball, you know, whether guys are banged up or not, we got to score points. And that's the mindset that we always have to have. We got to go out there, attack, and put as many points on the board as we can.
Okay, man. Go have some fun. Light it up.
All right. Thanks, Arch.
Yeah, we got to score points. That is First and 10 with Dave Archer, who does a terrific job week in and week out talking about what needs to happen, and certainly his time with Matt Ryan there. Matt said, and if you missed it, maybe you weren't paying close attention, he said, we're going to target Julio as much as we need to. And I have no problem with that. That's fine. I didn't have a problem with 19 targets in the first game. That's fine. Julio did what he was supposed to do. The problem was, once again, and this is not a Julio issue, but we bogged down in the red zone, and we got stopped twice, Mike, in fourth down situations.
So how do we fix it? I mean, how do we get it done? You know, we talked about Matt being harassed, and like Matt's not going to throw his lineman under the bus. He's not going to do that. No quarterback's going to do that. But we saw what we saw. Matt needs a better pocket. We'll talk more about it coming up in the Domino's Falcons report. But he was rushed. He was harried, and when he wasn't, he still wasn't that accurate. So he didn't find a way. And he did talk about it with Arch there, a way to connect with Julio. But you just got to get those. You know, 20-20. We're one of the most dynamic offenses in the league, and we get in there. And Chris Collinsworth talked about it on the broadcast last Thursday night. You know, it's not easy for any team in the NFL, but other teams are finding ways to use their star receivers and get big touchdowns, man. It's not a field goal league. It's a touchdown league.
Join 92.9 The Game and celebrate the return of Falcons football this Friday at the Falcons Friday kickoff rally, guys. It's going to happen. It's free, by the way. It's open to all fans. But the party begins at 7:30 at Atlantic Station. That's 7:30 p.m. tomorrow at Atlantic Station. For more info, go to our events page at 92.9thegame.com. A lot of stuff going on over there at Atlantic Station. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. And hopefully we get a W on Sunday as we get back to Mercedes-Benz for the first time since last season. Coming up, we got the Falcon Report, guys, as we will talk to you about Matt Ryan saying there is no added pressure for him or this offense. He believes, despite what other people are saying, me. And also, we will hear from Dan Quinn talking about Free. He did not practice again today, Mike. Freeman, who is nursing a knee injury, according to various reports out there, that hasn't been said directly to us, but he did not practice again.
I didn't think he was going to play. If he doesn't go, obviously, on Friday, you're not going to see him. But what does this mean? How does the offense play more chances for Coleman? We'll chop it up.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.